حضرت سعد ابن ابی وقاص رضی اللہ عنہ, حضرت سعد بن ابی وقاص رضی اللہ عنہ, he stated that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the gracious Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, stated that I, with regards to the state condition of the mu'min, I'm surprised. The Prophet ﷺ said, I'm surprised at the condition of the mu'min, at the situation regarding the mu'min, the true Muslim who practices amalan, who practice and try to practice good. They are called mu'min, the believers, Muslims. So the word surprise or taken aback has been used in this hadith. And a person surprised due to two reasons. One is a person is surprised when something unexpected occurs, something unusual occurs, something you're not expecting. Well, how did that happen? And you're taken aback. You're surprised or slightly shocked. Or so nice, so beautiful. Oh, he's so strong. And a person's surprised. Something that's not usual or normal. So a person, when he experiences something like that or sees, he's surprised. And another surprise is when a person is a bit down or sad, that, oh yeah, how can it be that this person, you know, he did this action, he had a lot of capacity and capability and he's useless. Look, I'm so shocked that he's got such a good car and how he's abusing it. So that's another way a person, so here the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his statements you can extract various meanings. But both meanings are, you can say, derived from this hadith. We look at the first one, then the Holy Prophet ﷺ is praising the mu'min to a high degree. That who? Me and you. Say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has made us as mu'mins, given us iman, we recite the kalima, we have belief, we have certainty, we have yaqeen, and according to that we practice and we are mu'mins, Alhamdulillah. So this is the reality, mine and yours and all the mu'mins, the Holy Prophet ﷺ. So on one side, he has, in a beautiful way, fantastic way, praised us in this hadith. Sometimes a person cannot recognize what he is. But another person says to him, no, you're not this, you are actually like this. So here, the Holy Prophet ﷺ, there's nobody more than him who recognized and understood the ummah. There isn't, is there? So the Holy Prophet ﷺ, he explained the reality of all the mu'mineen, that do you really know who you are? That I'm surprised, I'm amazed that what Allah Ta'ala has made you. So that's one point. That's one we're looking at. That I'm surprised, and I am, subhanAllah, alert to the fact that what Allah Ta'ala has made you, Allah has given you capability, Allah has given you capacity to do good. You have uruj, you have high status, you have high maqam, you have high rank, you have a high level. Allah has given you power and understanding so that you can get close to Allah. So that you can get close to us. Listen carefully. Who are these? Me and you. People. Who are these people? Say subhanAllah. Me and you. This is not some third party or some other group of people. Until Qiyamah, whichever ummati is there who's a mu'min. For everyone there's a good news. Glad tidings from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why do you consider yourself to be insignificant? You think you're just there to eat and drink and that's it? No, no, no. You are a very great individual. You don't actually know what you are here for. What you are worth and your value. You can achieve so much, but I'm surprised, and I'm surprised when I see you. The mu'min. Why? What's the reason? Why did the Prophet ﷺ say that? Why was he extremely surprised or dismayed? And there was a special reason here that we understand. That inside you, Allah has given you such energy, capability, abilities. So the Prophet ﷺ said that within you, inside you, you have been given such a quality that you're not dependent on one thing. It's not just one ibadah that you do, that you just have salah, and through salah you can attain Allah's qurb, or just from recitation of Quran you'll attain Allah's nearness, or from Hajj and Umrah, only through that you can get close to Allah. Only five times a day can you get close to Allah, not beyond that. No, the Prophet ﷺ said that you have so much capability, ability, that every action of yours can take you, draw you close to Allah Ta'ala. Tell me. In other words, it's not just that you pray salah and that's one ibadah. No, the Prophet ﷺ said, whatever you do all day long, any time, any moment in time, whatever you're doing, every action of yours is high level ibadah, O mu'min. That's how high level ibadah it is, that with that ibadah, that you get so close to Allah, you get so close to Allah, that you become the friend and the wali of Allah. Yes. That's the example that Rasulullah has given in this same hadith. Yeah, very small example. That even if you, and let's forget other big actions, even if you're eating a small piece of food, you know, a little morsel of bread or chapati, small piece, even if you're eating that, that action itself, it will draw you and take you close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just the action of eating one piece of food. So there are many paths that Allah Ta'ala has given to me and you, many paths and means and resources. And tell me, even then we go into hellfire, forget about hellfire. The reality is that we should attain the highest places of Jannah and Paradise immediately at that time when we do the right thing. So Iman is the start. But the difference here is, only for those people at this message, and look at this, understand this point. It's not for every human being. It is for every person who has Iman who can achieve this. Yes, we are all equal. For example, you are sitting on a table, at a table. Yes, and there's other people with other religions, other faiths, and you're sat there, the Muslim sat there. And that, for example, you're doing an action. You're doing an action, let's say you're eating. Let's say you're eating, all of you at the same time. So look at the difference here, that he is eating and we are also eating. But we, with every piece of food, we are increasing in our rank and status and the nearness to Allah. And the other person, he doesn't know anything. He's just dust and dirt and soil. Because he doesn't have the luggage for the success. Look at the difference. He doesn't have Iman. He doesn't have faith. So he will not get anything from his actions. But the mu'min, due to Iman, just eating one piece of food. And in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ has given the example, even eating a piece of food is just like when you wake up in the night for tahajjud, maraqabat, dhikr in the heart. And that piece of food you eat is the same as when you get up in the night and worship. Takes you close to Allah. But we don't think about this. Every feeling of ours, every emotion of ours, every movement of ours, there's no situation in a Muslim's life. That's what the Prophet ﷺ told us. That on your every action, I am surprised. On every action, I'm delighted, rather. I'm delighted, I'm happy that it's taking you close to Allah. For example, you're walking, you're outside, and then you stop and you sit in the shade. You stop for a bit and you sit in the shade. Even this is ibadah. Even this is ibadah. For example, you change your clothes. This is ibadah. If you go to sleep, this is also ibadah, worship. This is worship. If you're drinking water, you're drinking a sweet drink, a juice. This is also ibadah. Every ni'mah Allah has given to you is an ibadah, is worship. Every action is ibadah. Put your shoes on. That is also ibadah, worship. And thousands of people who wear the shoes, due to wearing the shoes, they get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Totally close to Allah. Where it goes. And thousands of others don't even know what they're doing, what to do. So this, who is getting the benefit? Remember who's getting the benefit. Only who? The mu'min will get the benefit. There are two types of mu'min. One is the ghafil, the lazy, the negligent, ignorant. And one is the true, honest, sincere Muslim. So divide the mu'mins into two parts or three. One are those who don't even believe, they're gone. Yeah. Then we have the second group in. Those, alhamdulillah, they're mu'mins. Their faith, their belief. And the Prophet ﷺ is addressing the mu'mineen here. And those, the third grouping, are those who are ghafil, lazy, negligent. They don't want to practice. Oh, it's okay, fine, leave it. Don't tell us. They don't bother. So what we learn is that the person who has Iman, who is conscious, who understands, just like today we're talking, and an understanding is developed in our mind. Oh, okay. So that's the point. So these are all ibadat, worship. So then you'll be alert. You'll stop. And you'll think that these actions are getting me close to Allah. And when this way of thinking is developed, when this ideology is developed, and this develops when you sit next to a wali Allah, a sheikh, a teacher, because he improves your way of thinking. He develops your thing. We ate before, we used to sleep before, we used to walk around before. But when you sit in the company of the sheikh, then he will change the direction of your travel. And he will say, use your every action of life in the right way. Why using it, abusing it in the wrong way? Then you become alert and conscious and awake. Oh, this is the case. So then you're eating and you're awake, that your sheikh has told you eating is ibadah. Eat in the right way, then you'll eat in the right way. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. So this is called developing the consciousness, awareness. When a person's direction changes, travel to the right way, then he understands that, oh, I'm a great human being. And he's not just looking after salah, just through salah I'll get Allah. No, he'll understand the Muslim, the mu'min, Allah's made me so valuable as a human being that if I want to, and with alertness and wisdom and understanding, I want to get close to Allah, Allah's qurb, then every, you're eating, drinking, standing, sitting, walking, traveling, everything, every situation of life, Rasulullah said it's not a small thing. Rather, I'm dismayed, I'm delighted that every action of yours takes you fast to Allah's nearness. Subhanallah. So, if you're going to work, ibadah. Tell me. Yes, if you're preparing to go to work, ibadah. If you're ironing your clothes, ibadah. Worship. Every action of the life, A to Z, is ibadah. Every action. Same way, there are other actions. You get wounded, ibadah. You fall down on the ground, ibadah. You get ill, you get a fever, ibadah. You get a flu, a cold, ibadah. You get a sneeze, you sneeze, high level ibadah. Sneeze. The angels in the heavens, they reply to your sneeze. Subhanallah. But we don't think like this in the positive way. We don't think about the reality of our life and our movements. So when you get to this position, that utilize Allah Ta'ala's ni'mah, even that is an ibadah. Or if during pain or problems and you are patient and you endure, even that is ibadah. But Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has put a condition here. There's a condition here. And we need to understand. So this is the point, that now Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is changing the direction of travel for each and every one of us. So he told us that you are valuable, you are precious, every action of yours is ibadah. Now alongside that, in parallel, he said that alongside that, when does your action become ibadah? When does a ni'mah of Allah become ibadah? When does a pain or problem become ibadah? In the hadith, Rasulullah gave the example. He explained that, remember this action now. Remember this point, only then will your actions become ibadah. This is the condition. An atiya qala. Yeah, the Prophet ﷺ explained that whenever you attain a ni'mah of Allah, any action you're doing, they're all ni'mahs. You're looking, ni'mah, you're sitting, ni'mah. You're using your hands, ni'mah. I'm speaking to you, ni'mah. I'm lying down, ni'mah. These are all ni'mahs of Allah, gifts of Allah. This is not ni'mah, is it? Again, a detached house and material things and goods. They're not ni'mahs. Ask that person. Ask that individual who has got extreme cold, flu. He'll say, Ya Rabbi, if only my cold was to go. Then how great is the health and you don't have the flu and the cold? That's a great ni'mat of Allah. So these are the treasures of Allah, the gifts of Allah. Everything that is attached to us, part of our life is ni'mat. Allah Ta'ala set us down here. Allah has given us food today. Allah has given us a home. We did wudu. We put our clothes on, ironed our clothes. And we had an intention today. We'll be dhikr. We'll go to the majlis in the evening. As long as a person is focused and working and preparing for a good action, and that's rotating in his mind and his brain, he gets the thawab for that preparation. That's why I said, from the morning, look at the notification, advertise it, so people are thinking all day long about the majlis and you earn the thawab. Quickly release the notification in the morning. Early, ding, when the notification comes, then people think, my friends, subhanAllah, so they'll get thawab for the notification and thinking about, okay, today's, okay, it's 5 p.m. now, okay. Text message has arrived, and in their mind, there's a thought, and it's a nurani thought, that when a person's thinking about going to Allah's home, to meet Allah, then the nur is developed in that person. Nur. And he's getting thawab, and he's getting closer to Allah, because to meet Allah is a great, great ibadah. And meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the universe, not a minor meeting. And so who are we meeting? Allah is waiting, and we are waiting. We're all preparing. That you are waiting for the evening, so Allah ta'ala is also waiting for you. MashaAllah, and Allah Ta'ala says, I'm waiting. You come, sit in the gathering, and I will host a better gathering than yours, Allah Ta'ala says. Allah says, you call me once, I will also call out to you. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. So Allah Ta'ala says, when you sit down and say, Fadhkuruni adhkurkum, Allah says, according to my glory and status, I will also remember you. Because when there's friendship, this is the friendship, isn't it? When we call out to Allah, make friends like this, make Allah the true friend of yours. True friend of yours. That's what Allah wants. That my beloved who love me, they call out to me. Allah says, you remember me, I will remember you. Clear. Allah says, how can this be that you'll do my dhikr and I don't remember you? How can it be that, for example, you say to someone, I like you very much, I love you much, and that person doesn't like you? Allah says, no. Allah says, I'm desperate for you to come. Remember me sometimes in the night I call out, sometimes tahajjud time I call out to you, Allah says. Sometimes maghrib time I look at you as my servant, come to pray. Sometimes I look for you at dhuhr time. Sometimes I look at you during dua times, during your sigh and your desperateness. Allah says, I'm looking, my servant, is he calling me? Where is he? Where is he? Subhanallah. Such an honest, true, sincere love between Allah and His servant. That is the greatest friendship. Nowhere else. The amount Allah Ta'ala remembers us, the mothers of the world don't remember their kids. Allah Ta'ala remembers us so many times. And how does Allah remember us? Allah says, have you got any problem? Do you have any need? Do you have any requirement? Are you sick? Do you need a solution? Do you need a solution to your problems? Are you distressed? Are you in sorrow? Allah says, if that's the case, then raise your hands. Allah, I'm unhappy. Allah says, I hear you straight away. Straight away. So brothers, this is how fantastic and excellent is our status. Allah Ta'ala says, that all of this I've made ibadah, your life every second, but how? How will all of your actions become worship? Allah's Nabi Sallam explained. What is the condition? That whenever a name of Allah arrives to you and we are continuously living a life of ni'mah, then do one action. At that time, when you see that ni'mah, the treasure of Allah, pay attention. Just like I send a notification out about the majlis so that you are focused and alert and preparing. Allah says, I've sent you a notification. That's what I'm sending to you. That every action of yours, you can get close to me. Allah says that what I want is that you also focus on me and alert and aware of me. Allah says, every second you should be aware of me and alert. And you need to do one action to get to that point. What? At that time you have to say, Alhamdulillah wa shukr. Subhanallah. That Allah, I'm grateful. That Allah says you need to continuously in your life be in the condition of shukr. Be grateful, Allah, your karam, your grace. You gave us Ramadan. Allah, your favor. You allowed us to fast in Ramadan. Allah, your extreme favor on us. That everything, the food we eat is digested in our bodies. Yes? So you're in the masjid, you say, Allah, I'm so grateful to you. At least I've come into your home, into the masjid. So make this habit. Make this habit. This will become ibadah for you, a reaction. It's not difficult, is it? And say, don't even have to say it. At least just make it a habit in your life that every action you do, you turn to Allah. Allah, I'm grateful to you. Allah, I'm grateful to you. There are two things there. Pride won't come into you that you think you did what you did, that I achieved this. I came here. The car brought me here. I implemented this action. I achieved this. I was called. No. Allah, I couldn't have even arrived here without your permission, Allah. I couldn't have even traveled here, Allah. It's your karam, your power. Allah, I'm so grateful to you. Allah, you enabled me to arrive here. Otherwise, Allah, you could have sent me somewhere else. You could have diverted me. So whenever a man thinks like this positively, then he practices this. So the status of being grateful. And secondly, when you get pain or a problem, Allah says, that's also from me. Because your life will continue positive, negative, whether it's a mu'min or a disbeliever, when it's written in his destiny, he'll wake up in the morning, he'll sneeze, he'll get a headache, he'll have an accident today, the tire will be punctured, after that his business will flop, ups and downs. In our destiny, there are ups and downs, and they will carry on just like a film carries on. They're going to come. That's why what we need to control is two things. Two things. I'll make it easy so you understand. In our life, we cannot stop what's going to come. What Allah Ta'ala has ordained. Your cycle of life will continue. Today, if your car's going to have an accident, it's going to happen. If there's a tragedy, it's going to happen today, it's going to happen. If a calamity is going to occur, it's going to occur. If you're going to receive something, it's going to... Sometimes an emma will come, sometimes a pain will come, sometimes a headache will come, or a migraine will come. The cycle of life will continue. But you need to utilize all of these instances to get close to Allah. But what do? When a problem comes, oh, I'm finished, oh, no, I've lost this, or do this, or I've got a puncture, or do this wrong, or I call the AA, do this, and you're desperate. And you don't remember Allah. Allah says, when you get a problem, first and foremost, turn to your Rabb, Allah Rabbul Kareem. Turn to Him first. Yes, so when a ni'mah comes, not just, oh, mashallah, I've got a ni'mah, and you keep praising yourself, and you're grateful to that man, thank you, you gave me a job, and you did me a favor. Forget everyone. First and foremost, who do you turn to? Run back to Allah. Allah, I'm grateful to you. Allah, with your karam and grace and favor, I got this job, or this was implemented. But we don't do this. This is the reason. Allah says, that's the reason behind all of our issues, that we deviate. So whatever we get, a good thing or a bad thing, you wake up in the morning, you're healthy, what do we do in the morning? Allah, I'm grateful to you. Allah, you have breakfast, you eat nice breakfast and toast and fried eggs and different dishes at breakfast time, food and drink, then be grateful to Allah. If you don't have nothing, even if there's no milk at home and you're painfully hungry, turn to Allah, same, and say, Allah, I'm grateful to you. So both you are grateful. One is the grateful is, the first example is, what do we call that? So when you have the ni'mas and the resources, then to express your happiness, that's shukr. When you have pain and difficulty, then you express that with sabr and patience. Both are gratefulness. For example, if a pain comes to me, or problem, or I get an accident in the car, or a calamity, then you are in the condition of sabr, patience at that time. And that patience is also an act of gratefulness, subhanAllah. So there are two styles of gratefulness. One is the sabr, through difficulty, and one is the happiness when you get the ni'mah. So both are being grateful, you're remembering Allah, during both. So two things, when a human being has sabr and shukr, and he goes through all the phases of life like that, then everything of the mu'min is like this. It's not a minor thing. The ajr and thawab, extreme reward. Rasulullah said, extreme reward. That's why he said when he looked at us that he's dismayed. He's surprised. So much thawab, so much ajr, so much you can earn in one day while you're walking, eating, sleeping, changing clothes. Every action of yours is ibadah. It can be ibadah. That's a great statement. Great status, but we're wasting all of these opportunities. But at that time, always remember every second where to be patient, sabr, where to be grateful, where to do shukr. And understand another point of this hadith, great point, that just with patience and gratefulness, we cannot succeed. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us this as well. Yes? Yeah? He didn't just say that if you're grateful and if you have sabr, both places Allah Ta'ala has mentioned one word. Qala alhamdulillah shukr. Qala alhamdulillah sabr. Both. So what we learn is in both instances before both, if you want to make the action an act of gratefulness, or if you want to do exercise sabr, patience, then do one thing definitely. Alhamdulillah is attached to both. The dhikr of Allah. So when you do dhikr Allah, then there's sabr. And when you do dhikr Allah, then you're grateful for the ni'mah that Allah has given to you. So for both, if without dhikr, you live in this world and you think you're grateful to Allah and you got sabr, then that's not sabr and that's not shukr. Rather, that will become an issue for you. And regularly we hear this, oh, I'm grateful to Allah. I've done a lot of sabr and patience. Sabr is such a condition, my friends. Sabr is such a condition. There's a very high, Allah gives extreme pain and difficulty to human beings sometimes. Love. That for example, until now, my mind has not understood this, that in our silsila, there's a sister, and I mention her purposely that we should do dua for her, and to earn her duas, mashallah, she got 5 or 6 children. Yeah, if we see her example, and this is called that from Allah Ta'ala, that where Allah Ta'ala gives this example, this is the maqam of sabr. So she did wudu, and after doing wudu, when she took a first step, and she fell. Yeah, she fell down. She fell down. And she lost her touch. She couldn't move her legs or her arms. She lost the sense. And within a minute, her life changed totally. Yes? And now her body, her limbs are not moving. Brothers, this is Allah Ta'ala when He tests. And who gave this? Allah Ta'ala says that I've given a high level maqam to this person. That everything I give to you, Allah says that your destiny is written and it will come and go, come and go. I know, la yukallifullahu nafsan illa wus'aha. I do not give anybody a burden or a difficulty that he cannot bear. In this dunya, I give that person the power and the ability with sabr that you can endure every instance in your life. So the person who looks, he thinks, oh, he's got so much pain, his body is wounded, there's an operation, it's severe. But have yakin, the person who has a heart operation, he doesn't have that much pain compared to the people who are watching him or looking at him. Yes, the people who look at him or watch him or witness that, they have more pain than the person who has experienced that. Because if he's got sabr or she's got sabr, the maqam of sabr that person gets through, how? That Allah Ta'ala has given this condition to me. Allah has given this difficulty to me. And when does it become sabr? At the same time, dhikr is happening. Say subhanAllah, because I've seen this. I've seen this. That the person, she cannot even hold a phone, she can't hold a glass of water, she can't move around in the bed easily, and she was fine, totally healthy before. Nauzubillah, nauzubillah. Allah is not doing zulm on anybody, is he? He's not giving a punishment. He's not oppressing. But it was written in a taqdeer that this is how I will elevate her status. Allah said, I'll give her ala high maqam in Jannah. But it will come through this ibadah. But because this woman, her maqam is so high, Allah Ta'ala says, that this woman's maqam is extremely high. Yes, Allah Ta'ala knows the rest of the history of the individual before the past. But this woman's maqam is so high that she won't be able to do that much ibadah. Allah Ta'ala says, I want to give her such a high maqam that she attains the qurb of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah said, so I gave her that experience. Allah Ta'ala selected that distress or pain, you could say, for her. Allah doesn't want her to have pain. Allah Ta'ala doesn't want to give her difficulty. So Allah Ta'ala will give her ease at the same time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He will also take her out of this difficulty, inshallah. He'll give her health. He'll give her ease. But this is an example I've given to you. So brothers, the both things are high level ibadah. Being grateful, shukr to Allah, and sabr, patience. Whatever Allah Ta'ala gives to you, then be grateful. And when you're doing shukr to Allah for the great positive things, then do zikr at the same time. And when you have sabr through difficulties, then at the same time in parallel do zikr. So when you're going through sabr, there's problem, there's issues in your life, then immediately do zikr at the same time. Kathir zikr. High quantity zikr. But you'll only do dhikr, or you'll do shukr and sabr only when normally in your life you do dhikr as well. That's why we invite you to do dhikr. It will be beneficial for you today and tomorrow. Because we don't know what's going to come across us tomorrow. So if today I don't get habitual in dhikr, then when I need to have sabr and express sabr, then I won't be able to do it because I'm not doing dhikr. I don't know about dhikr. But alhamdulillah, in normal situations when your heart is alive, do maraqabah, you sit, you come and go to the majlis, then automatically you are a dhakir and you're doing dhikr of Allah regularly throughout your life. So my brothers, how these two things, there's two messages here and excellent messages in this hadith. Number one, that we need to analyze ourselves. We need to look inwardly. Are we mu'mins or are we ghafil? Are we believers, faithful, or are we negligent and lazy and ignorant? Do we earn every single action of our life? Do we get ajr and reward throughout the day? Yes. So today, every moment, even now, we're in a situation where we can earn reward. Because every second we're passing through a situation or a condition, every second a mu'min is able to convert that into ibadah. So do either sabr or shukr. But with that in parallel, keep the dhikr of Allah alive in your lives. Dhikr of Allah is a very important part of our life. Remember this. Dhikr of Allah is a very important part of our lives. The people get fed up. They say, Hazrat, you talk so much about dhikr. But I do that because my teacher instructed me. He said that without dhikr of Allah, life is a waste. That if there's no dhikr in your life, then every action is a waste. Because Allah Ta'ala said, whatever ibadah you do, look at the Quran. Allah Ta'ala says, do hajj, do dhikr in parallel. If you do Umrah, do dhikr in parallel. If you're in the path of Allah, do dhikr at the same time. Pray Salah, do dhikr at the same time. Every action in parallel, Allah says you must do dhikr of Allah. It's attached to every action in life. That's why Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Sahib said, that dhikr is the root, the soul of every action of your life. How can you take dhikr of Allah out of your life? Tell me, how can you do this? So there's no option that can we do it or should we leave it or do we need to do it? It's Allah's mercy and extreme blessings of Allah that He has made us alert that don't leave dhikr, don't shun dhikr, don't disregard dhikr. Otherwise you'll lose out and waste all the rewards Allah has given to you in life. And then with dhikr in parallel, every ibadah becomes easy for the human being. Shukr becomes easy, sabr becomes easy. Patience becomes easy. And both are fantastic things. When a person has sabr and he endures and he's patient, it helps him in the time of extreme need. And remember that, if we ask that sister, the sister who's in difficulty, she's laying down in the bed, there's nobody to help her. What's helping her now, assisting her? Sabr will assist her and help her. Sabr. When she has sabr, yes, and we need that, if it will assist us, then before that in advance, we need dhikrullah. Dhikrullah. So don't we need to do dhikr? Shouldn't we be doing it all the time? So we're prepared for whatever comes. So be habitual. Get used to doing dhikr. Very easy. Have a connection with the sheikh. Become a student of a sheikh. And request that sheikh. That sheikh's up. Please prescribe me some dhikr. What should I do during the day? How much should I do? And he'll prescribe it to you. So that you get used to it. And you become regular in it. And do dhikr. And do your actions of life. Because a mu'min, he doesn't stop. He doesn't put the brakes on in the world. He doesn't stop. The question doesn't arise. We have to keep moving in this world. That, for example, you got a baby in your arms. You have to take the baby out for a walk. You have to give water to the cow. You have animals, cattle. You have to give them food to eat. These are all your duties. And every action of your life will make become ibadah if you do it in the right way. You can't say to him, oh, he's taking the milk out of the cow, and I've just done wudu, and I'm worshipping, and mashallah, I'm going to pray nawafil, and he's milking the cows. No. Every action in life is a necessity. We think that whoever's not done wudu, he's not on the prayer mat, he's not got tasbih in his hands, we think he's a waste of time, and that I'm a worshipper, I'm the abid, etc. This is not the concept of Islam. No. Ibadah equals that action which draws you near to Allah. That is ibadah. Ibadah equals the action. For example, you're praying 100,000 tahajjud, but you're praying tahajjud in such a way that is taking you further away from Allah. You're doing recitation of the Quran 100,000 times, but it's not that tilawah that's taking you near to Allah, rather it's taking you far from Allah. Understand this point. Understand this. Every tilawah will not draw you close to Allah. Every salah will not draw you close to Allah. Every hajj will not draw you close to Allah. Remember this point. Yes, your salah, make your salah that makes you close to Allah. Make your salah worthy. Make your hajj worthy so it takes you close to Allah. Make your tilawat of the Quran worthy and capable that it takes you close to Allah. We try to do shortcuts. Oh, I've read Quran, read, or I've prayed salah, or I've done this, isn't it? That's it, fine, I've just finished, I've done it. That's enough. Is that such a small thing we think that these actions are very minor, that they're insignificant? No, this is not the case. Allah Ta'ala, to get close to Allah, the means and the resources He's given, the method He's given, we need to follow that. Why is it that other, you can say minor actions in the world, take you higher in level than that person who's doing worship, for example. Let's take example, a person and he's walking, he can't see, he's looking for the road. So what thought will come in your heart? Tell me. You'll have affection for that person and sympathy for that person and love for that person because the heart has generated that. Subhanallah, say Subhanallah. Yes, try to understand what I'm trying to say. So what's changed? Your heart has changed. So the same way Allah Ta'ala says, if you want to come to me, then improve your heart before you come to me. Allah says, I don't need your salah, my servants. Allah says, I don't need your recitation of the Quran. I don't need your tahajjuds. What I want, Allah says, is that your heart should be developed and improved. Say Subhanallah. So one person who in his heart he has thousands of evil thoughts and wretchedness, and he's running after tahajjud. But the other person, who's pure in the heart, he sees another person who's in trouble, he's sympathetic as affection, then he's thousands of times better than the first person because he's arrived to his destination. Allah Ta'ala says, you can never get close to me with a hard heart. When you have love for the makhluk and the creation of Allah, and your heart becomes soft and tender. Yes, like you're a doctor, let's say. There's a doctor, and a child goes to him for an injection to the doctor. And in his heart, he has sympathy that the child's going to cry. The doctor gives a sweet, and he tries to put him off, and he loves him, gives him love. That he has got sympathy and affection in the heart for the child, and that love has increased. He's got a lot of love. And he considers the pain of the patient as his pain. This is a high grade ibadah of the doctor, and he's attained Allah Ta'ala's nearness. Yes, every profession is ajeeb. Every job, every career, every action is beloved because it will get you close to Allah. That salah is salah. It's your heart that will make you shake. So that talawat that will give you acceptance is the talawat when it's done with a pure heart. So it's the heart that will make you shake. That is the Ramadan when your heart is made. Ramadan isn't about just fasting. All the actions, they're affected and they're accepted. They're at the high level when your heart is developed. You come to dhikrullah. That's why that if with dhikr of Allah, your heart hasn't moved. If your heart hasn't moved, inside your heart there's no yearning, there's no softness, there's no affection, there's no love, there's no change, then that dhikr is not having an impact on you. Then that's not dhikr of Allah. So it's not just turning the tasbih around. It's not just turning the pages of the Quran that you're reciting the Quran. Yes, it's not just going to the saf and praying salah, or turning the pages of the Quran, or knocking the beads of the tasbih. That's not dhikrullah on its own. Or doing tawaf around the Kaaba, just walking around it, or kissing the Kaaba. Yes, this is not tawaf. That drinking zamzam water. Yes, that's not umran hajj. No, none of these things. Look at the essence behind all of these. If until alongside all of these things in parallel, if the situation of your heart is not improved, then you cannot get acceptance. Whenever you do any ibadah, first make niyyah, ask from Allah, Allah, this ibadah I'm doing or this action I'm doing, direct Allah, make it penetrate my heart, impact my heart. Allah, I'm going on a journey, I'm going to recite your name. That may not be that you come back empty handed. Allah, make my heart shake from inside, from within. Allah, allow the impact of your name to come into my heart. Allah, extract my takabbur out. May my pride disappear. May I consider myself as the worst from all the people. I have no quality, no ilm, no knowledge, that I am the worst. Allah, everything you give me, Allah, make me like this, the way that you want me to be as a mu'min. Make me like that. Then the dhikr of Allah is benefiting us. Then there's enjoyment. Then there's achievement. You understand what I'm saying? So this is the emotion of a human being. Very sort of fine point, but this is a class of tasawwuf, mashallah, purification. So always think that we should discuss those points so that our heart shakes and improves. So inshallah, I'm hopeful that I've benefited from this and you'll have benefited as well. So before you do any action, think, make the action worthy so that Allah Ta'ala accepts it and that the love between us and Allah increases. Don't just bop up and down, I pray salah, or I've done this action physically. Oh, I've run a madrasa, I'm a teacher, oh, I do this. No, ilm, these aren't things to count. No, we need to look at the quality. Allah says, come to me with qalbin saleem. Ataakum. Allah says, I want a qalbin saleem, a pure heart. I don't need the appearance, the physical. I want the essence of the ibadah. So two conditions, all day long, every second, either we're in sabr or we're in shukr. So dhikr of Allah, keep it alive all the time. So that if sabr time comes, you're sabr. And sometimes if there's a ni'mah, then you're grateful to Allah. And then that will become a high level ibadah. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq ability to practice this. Ameen.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المرسلين شفيع المرسلين نبينا محمد ياسين الحبيب اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي أزواجه محمد المؤمنين وذرياته بأهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم وإنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا كثيرا اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم صلِّ على الإيمان وعلمتنا على الإيمان وحشنا مع يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين اللهم استعملنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته وعشنا بسنته يا كريم اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا قاضي الحاجات اقضى حاجاتنا يا دافي البليات اتفو بلياتنا يا شافي المراد اشفى مرازنا يا شافي المراد اشفى مرازنا يا الله اس خاتم کو قام داج دا صحت نصیب فرما اس کی بیماریوں پر صبر نصیب فرما اے میرے مولا حمد و طاقت نصیب فرما یا اللہ اپنی رحمت و فضل کا سایہ اس پر نصیب فرما یا اللہ تو اپنے فضل کرم سے ہم سب کی دعاؤں کو قبول فرما وصلی اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلقہ محمد و علیہ وسلم اجمعین برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.